Today on The Daily Shed, we discuss the difference between name brand and generic tools. Hello, friends. It's Wednesday, Workshop Wednesday. Welcome to The Shed. Today on Workshop Wednesday, I want to talk to you about name brand tools. At the start of this series, I did a set of shows about the different various woodworking tools you needed and my particular tools. And if you watch that video, I'll link it. Almost all of my stuff, my woodworking stuff in particular, is generic. It's not name brand stuff. My bandsaw doesn't even have a brand name, even a fake one. It's just a generic Chinese manufactured bandsaw. My sander is Central Machinery, which is sold by Harbor Freight. It's a generic. My chop saw it doesn't have a name, got picked up at a thing. My drill press is Delta, which is an older tool company, and I have a thickness planer underneath of this table. Same thing, it's a Delta. They're kind of the low end of the respected column. All of my hand tools that you see behind me, like my chisels, these are just Harbor Freight, what people would call junk. My clamps, these are Harbor Freight clamps, or some of those are Bessie Home Depot clamps. My drills, this is actually a Ryobi, which is a name brand that's sold by Home Depot, but not a very good name brand. Like, this isn't a professional grade. My impact driver, this is so generic, it doesn't even have a name on it. So I have a lot of generic tools, and there's a reason. I am not a professional woodworker, and because of that, I don't have a need to spend ridiculous amounts of money on high-end gear. And even if I were a professional, I'm not sure that I would spend crazy amounts of money on stuff. And the reason being, this chisel right here, this set of chisels, it came with four, I don't know if you can see those, four chisels back here, cost me about $6. These will last me my entire life. It's just that simple. They're a decent quality steel, they hold an edge very well. I've done some work on this particular chisel, sharpening it. This chisel's great. It's never going to fail me. I'm not a professional carver, so I don't need super high-end chisels to last my entire life. This will work just fine. So anytime you bring up tools, there's these like two camps. The guys that have the, many $1,000 tools versus the guys that have Craigslist finds or generics, and they... why waste your money on something that won't last you your lifetime, blah, blah, blah. To me, the project is more important than the tool. Especially in woodworking, say I buy a chop saw that gives me a slightly better cut because it's not as wobbly or whatever. Okay, so I spend $500 versus $80 to get a slightly better cut in a material that doesn't maintain its shape over its lifetime anyway. It expands and contracts and contorts because that's what wood does. I'm not going to bring out my micrometer and make sure that my chop saw is cutting to the 128th degree or anything like that. As long as it's close, that's perfect. But now, mechanic tools... I was a professional mechanic in a previous life. That means I worked on people's cars for a living every single day. And my tools got abused because I'm not easy on my tools. I use my tools. Even still, let's go have a look. Field trip to the corner of my garage. So this is the setup that I had when I was a professional mechanic. Hopefully you can hear me over the cicadas, but if you were wondering, that buzzing noise is bugs. Anyway, so as you can see, it's a fairly large toolbox. This is a generic brand by all measurements. This is a
Lowe's brand that most professional mechanics, believe it or not, most professional mechanics who have a toolbox this size, they'll spend about $4,000 on the toolbox. It'll be a Snap-on or a Mac toolbox. They're extremely expensive for something like this. This was like $200. Okay, so looking through my toolbox, you'll see here I have a Blue Point impact driver. That's a Snap-on brand. This is Cornwell, which is a lower end professional grade tool. Open up drawers, Snap-on pliers. These are Nipex pliers, very expensive. These are things that I used every single day. These are Mac brand needle nose pliers, Mac brand hose pliers, original Vice Grip brand vice grips. This stuff was really important to me that it worked, so I spent extra money. Move down to my wrenches, and you'll see these are Cobalt brand also. These are generic wrenches, and you can see a difference. I don't know if it shows up on the camera, but this finish isn't super smooth. Compare it to, that's a generic. For instance, here's a Snap-on wrench that's super chrome and shiny and nice. In here you can see more Cobalt stuff, Cobalt sockets, Thorsen brand, smaller wrenches. So I have a mix of everything. My specialty toolbox, you'll see mostly generic tools, with the exception of some scrapers and stuff like that. I have a set of Matco screwdrivers. Now, these are expensive. These are probably, I don't know, $100, $120 for a set of screwdrivers. But these have never broke. They will last forever. Same with Matco Torx drivers. But then I have a set of generic, like super generic pry bars. Sockets, you'll find I have a Matco wrench. This is my favorite wrench ever made. But I also have in here, that's a Matco also. I thought I had a generic in here. I don't. But my sockets go from complete garbage generics like this no-name Chinese manufacturer. These are Cobalts. And again, I use these things every single day. I used all of those cheap, by all standards, cheap sockets on my impact wrenches. They work just fine. Into my air tool drawer, I have a bunch of Mac air wrenches, Mac grinders, body saws generic. Bunch of cases, Matco riveting tool. This is a Silver Eagle, is Snap-on brand. Here's an $80 hammer if you ever want to know what an $80 hammer looks like. So I guess the point of this is Matco snap ring pliers, stuff like that. So the point I'm trying to make there is a room for just about any tool you can get your hands on. Now, I will tell you the difference between a Snap-on wrench and a Cobalt or a generic Thorsen wrench is that the tolerances are much tighter. So if you have a wrench that's a 3/4-inch wrench, it's going to be 3/4 of an inch, whereas with the others, it might be a little off, and so you might feel a little slop. Most of the times, it doesn't matter. If it's really bad, you might strip the bolt or whatever that you're trying to work on, the fastener you're trying to work on. But for the most part, tools are tools and they're used until they can't be used anymore. If you want to spend the extra money for certain things, like my ratchet that I showed you, that was a $70 ratchet for one little ratchet. Has a super fine tooth head, which means I can move it very small strokes to get, torque, whereas with a cheaper ratchet, you might have to move it really far. It feels great in my hand. The chrome never came. Actually, I'd had that replaced because the chrome did come off. A very thick chrome plating, so it's very difficult to chip or break the chrome plating off. There are upgradable components like that that you just can't get in a cheaper wrench. But for a garage mechanic, the guy who's just going to change his oil, does he need to go buy a $70 wrench to do that? No. And in fact, I'll show you the bottom barrel of cheap. I used to keep this in my car, and this saved my tail so many times. I believe this entire kit was $20. It comes with super generic ratchets, super generic sockets. None of these are the right size. They don't fit very well. Comes with screwdrivers. They work just fine. Wrenches.
a complete roadside kit for $20. I throw this in my car, and whenever I had an issue, it never failed me. I actually did quite a number of roadside repairs with that kit, and I never had a problem with the tools. And for that sort of application, that kit will literally last me my entire lifetime. So to tell somebody that their tool purchase isn't going to work out for them because it won't last them their entire lifetime, that's just being presumptuous. You don't know the person's situation. So for me, there is a definite place for inexpensive tools. And as a tinkerer, if I have an inexpensive tool, you know, like my bandsaw or what have you, that has a shortcoming, I can fix it. I can make it better. Sure, I'm investing some sweat equity, some of my time into the tool instead of buying one off the shelf that's just amazing. But I'm willing to do that because, like anything, I like to know how everything works. So I want to be able to work on whatever it is I own. And what better way to learn how to work on it than to fix it? That's just my take, though. Some people will tell you that you're stupid if you don't buy a better set of wrenches. Judge for yourself. If you're only going to use those wrenches 100 times in your lifetime, just buy whatever you can afford, right? There's no point in you buying professional-grade tools to do a one-off job. That's just stupid. It's just a waste of resources, period. Like, it's just dumb. I don't know. Buy what you can afford. If you want to have fancy tools. That's fine. If you can afford it, go for it. For me, I buy what I can use to get the job done. Sometimes that means I have to replace it. Most of those tools, even the generic mechanics tools, have lifetime warranties. So just take it back and get a new one. It can be an inconvenience, but that's it. Literally. I don't know. Tell me what you think in the comments. I'd love to know. Do you own generic tools, or do you save up and buy Snap-on tools or whatever the name brand tool for your particular category is? I know a lot of woodworkers shy away from inexpensive power tools because they're afraid of them breaking. I've never had that happen, so it doesn't bother me at all. But I would love to hear what you think about tools in the comments below. Please leave me comments. While you're down there, don't forget to hit the thumbs up or the thumbs down. Maybe you hate me. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, and more importantly, hit the share button, and then share this post on the Twitters and Facebooks and Reddits and whatever. Share it somewhere. If everybody who watches this show every single day, which I am super appreciative that you guys watch this show every day, if all of you shared this video with one person who you thought would like to see my content, then the channel will grow twofold that quickly. So please, share. I really appreciate it. That's it for today. Be back tomorrow. Thanks for watching. Today's random fact comes from ctstatelibrary.org. When did the new year change from March to January? Really? December 31st, 1751 was followed by January 1st, 1752. What? The switch from March 25th to January 1st as the first day of the year. September 2, 1952 was followed by September 14, 1752, drop of 11 days to conform to the Gregorian calendar. Huh. Really? I don't know if that's a Connecticut thing, since that's the Connecticut State Library, or if that was a worldwide thing. March was the new year? Yeah.